the rent for that song service. Now, he loves that song. I love that song. Ring. Okay. I can't sing as well as a lot of you all can. I won't do that to the people this morning. But I love that song because that's what we're doing up here today. We're ringing it out. We get up here and we're trying to tell people about the news that makes men free. And I love ring. I just want to sing it again, but we won't sing it again. All right, just want to remind everybody, keep people in prayer that are sick right now, especially brothers and sisters Shirley, members of the household, and I'm so glad to see so many of you, Sister Rutherford. It's always glad to see Sister Rutherford and Brother Al, the senior, and it's just a good thing to see them, and it just makes my heart glad when I get the opportunity. Amen. So I've been talking about faith here, or I've been doing my best to talk about faith here for the last month, as I did promise that we will be talking about faith all month long. And today we're going to be talking about faith as well. We're going to be talking about what is faith, but it's going to turn more into how is your faith? I think that's the bigger question is, I think we know that we have faith, and we know we have faith in something, but how's your faith? And so that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about this morning, is how's your faith? So it's what is faith? How's your faith? Do you think that's a good question that we need to ask people? How's your faith? How's your faith? Instead of asking them what is faith, we ask them how's your faith, or what is your faith in? So you see, those are the questions I thought we should ask. You know, do you believe you know what faith is? Well, a lot of us do. I had to study it for myself because I wanted to know what faith is. What about your faith? Like I said, how is your faith? What is your faith in? We'll be quick to tell people our faith is in what? Our faith is in Jesus. But then we'll be quick to show otherwise. And I'm sorry, I'll be quick to show otherwise sometimes. I'm not going to sit here. Sometimes you kind of look at me and wonder, well, where's his faith then? But I know that's the question that I need to be asked sometimes. How's your faith? What's it in? I believe faith is, I want to say a feeling, but it's more than a feeling. It's that thing that you believe that drives you to believe everything else about that thing. See, it's more than a feeling because often it can't be described even though it's felt. Faith is just that, it's so strong. When you have faith in something or someone, as the song says, you'll sleep out in the rain, if that's the way they say it ought to be. That is a song. It's when a man loves a woman, and so in case y'all don't know, you're looking at me like, okay, what's that? It's when a man loves a woman, he says this. If he says you have to sleep out in the rain because that's what it ought to be, he has that much faith in love that he said, I'll sleep out in the rain if she says that's the way it ought to be. Yes, sleep out in the rain, not under a tarp, not in a tent, but out in the rain, if that's the way it ought to be. Faith will cause you to read when you hate reading, study when you hate studying, do anything it takes to make sure your election is a calling sure, or so Peter says. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And then it tells you, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you have faith, but what do you do from here? What does your faith drive you to do? What does it make you do? I said it makes you what? It makes you read when you don't want to, when you don't like reading. It makes you study when you hate studying. It makes you do something. And it's not just your faith in God that makes you do that. It's your faith in other things that still drives you. That's why it's still called faith. Because it drives you to find out as much as you need to know about the thing that you say you have faith in, even though it's wrong. Your faith can be so strong going in the opposite direction that you can't stop going in the opposite direction. That's how strong your faith can be in something that's wrong. And it takes more than you can imagine to pull you back so we can get you in the right direction. And that's school. I think we were talking about Friday night. Brother Alva Sr. was on Friday night. He was saying that, you know, back in when he was a younger man in school, it was hard to play hooky because you were bound to get caught. So I didn't say anything Friday night, but it got a little easier when I was in school, because when I was in the seventh grade, they called my mom and said, "Does he even exist? We haven't seen the boy in 3 semesters. And she said, "Well, I drop him off there." He said, "Well, I don't know where you drop him off at, but guess what? We ain't seen him." And said, "So he just can't come walking back in school." She had to take me back to school and sign me in because I had missed 3 semesters of school. So it's a little bit easier to play hooky these days, as you said. But she did that, and she was a little angry with me, but she signed me back in school. And she said, "Am I going to have to come there and just sit with you in class?" Not maybe so, but because there are things that it was driving me in the wrong direction, and I got used to it, and all of a sudden it became easy. And I just said, "Well, I'm not going there today. I got to turn around and go back home. I had a key to the house." She didn't come home till 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, I was gone. But anyway. So your faith can take you in the wrong direction just as easily as it could take you in the right direction, but it does that to the same degree. That's why it's so dangerous when you have faith in the wrong thing. 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, now this is what he says. He says, besides this, you know what that this is? He says, besides this, giving all diligence, that's giving all consciousness, add to your faith, besides faith, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is integrity, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, which is restraint, and to temperance, patience, which is tolerance. And then he says, and to patience, godliness, which is holiness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or compassion. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And that's interesting, because that's where we get pulled away, because we can't see beyond what we're trying to do. We can't see beyond who we're trying to fool or who we're trying to influence or who we're trying to be mislead when we're being misled. We can't see an ending. We can see an immediate result. But we can't see the overall ending. And the overall ending, when you're talking about God's economy, the overall ending is one or two things. You either get to go home or you don't. And not going home is the bad part, because when you don't get to go home, you get to go to the lake of fire. See, so you can't see afar off. You imagine the people could see that far off and understand it that well that they would say, "There is no way I'm going to end up in the lake of fire." And I did a whole extensive thing. I don't know you can make a lake of fire. Well, you don't want to be in a lake of fire, but they can't see that far off, because the thing that's driving them is driving them so far in the wrong direction that they can't see the end. But we're telling them, look a little bit further down the road. There's something down there. There's something that you want that's down there. And that's eternal life. eternal life with the Jesus you say you believe, and with the God you say loves you, well, isn't that where you want to be? But your faith is in the wrong direction. So that's why I always say, maybe, how's your faith? If you know what it is, how is it? What is it in? Who's telling you what to believe in? It's not me. I read from 2 Peter, and I'm still reading from 2 Peter. And he says in 1:10, cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. And what people don't believe is that they've been called. So they don't think they have an election sure. Because they say, well, I haven't been called. Well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm saying, come to Christ. Every Sunday that they allow me to get up here, I'm saying, come to Christ. That's your calling. Your calling is to come home. What we sing the song. We ain't singing in a while. How come we ain't singing? Sinner, come home. Yeah, I told y'all I can't sing, but come home. I know it sounds bad. Wow. But we sing that song saying, come home. If that's your home, you need to be trying to get back home. This, especially during the holiday season, what everybody's trying to do. They're trying to get back home. You're sitting in airports. You're waiting in long lines. Flights have been canceled. Nobody's left. They're sleeping on the floors because they want to get where? They want to get home. And that's what we're telling them. You need to come home. So you ask them, what is your faith in? How's your faith and what is it in? For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Otherwise, it don't bother me to keep telling you about it. I think he had one of them who said, this is the second letter I've written to you, and I'll write more. Because I need you to know. I won't be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them. People know what's going on. They just, how's your faith? What's your faith in? Like I said, they got something driving them, but it's driving them in the wrong direction. We want to bring them back in the right direction. We're saying, listen to the Bible. Because you know what? You can go and pick up a Bible. Get yourself some. Start off with a complicated Bible like the King James and get some of the insights. And then don't go right immediately to a Bible that's just been written so you can understand everything. Because then you don't get it if you don't have to stop sometime and go, well, what's that word? What's that word? And what does that word mean? That is some of the most helpful things about using a King James Bible you're ever going to find. You're going to stop and say, what's that word? I was, again, practicing to preach one day, and I was reading about the flood. And when it said, and the waters assuaged, well, we had to stop for 15 minutes and find out what assuaged meant. Because I hadn't studied it like I thought. I thought I was just going to read it. And I was like, oh, assuaged. And so we stopped and we talked about it. Because I had to know what assuaged meant. I had to know that meant that it calmed down. I didn't know what assuaged means. So the King James Bible, it does make you stop. It makes you look up the words. But which way are you trying to tell them? You can pick up a Bible. You don't even have to listen to let me talk to you for about 45 minutes or so. But go get a Bible. Pick it up. Read the same things I just read. Study those things. And again, that influence is going to take you in the right direction. You don't have to quote me directly. I'm quoting the Bible. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Now, Christ has showed Peter his demise. Now, I haven't seen my demise, so, but I can say the same thing. As long as I am in this tabernacle, I am going to remind everyone that will listen to me that they need to have these things. They need to have these things. They need to have faith in God. They need to have faith. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's in the Bible. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said that. We know Jesus was real. There's nobody on the face of this planet that will not doubt that Jesus was real. All right, y'all looking at me funny. All right. Fifteen. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So if you notice, Peter starts off with add to your faith, but he doesn't say what faith is. Thankfully, the Bible contains a clear definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I've read it three times this month. I've read that three times this month because that's the definition of faith. And it says, things not seen. Simply put, the biblical definition is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. I dropped the word off. I apologize. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That faith is the confidence that we shall receive the good things for which we hope, and that it by it we enjoy, as it were, a present life in anticipation of getting them. If you ask for something for Christmas and you already know you got it, you're looking forward to opening that box. Or if you ask for something for your birthday and you already know you got it, you're looking forward to opening that box. Or if you ask your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, or whoever it is to buy you that car and it's sitting out in the driveway, well, guess what? You ain't got to hope you're going to get it because it's sitting in the driveway. They just might not have given you the keys yet. So you're looking forward to enjoying it. That anticipation is that you're going to get it. It also gives a foundation or ground for expecting that thing, because by it we are justified in our hope. The evidence, the conviction, this persuasion, or the validation created in our mind or of things not seen, and I'm going to have to go from this from a spiritual point of view, of things invisible and eternal of God, and the things of God giving us an assurance of them, some respects equal to that which our outward senses give us to the things of this invisible and temporal world. Notice that the world is visible and it's also temporary. But we can see what's coming in the visible and the temporary. We need to have faith in from God's economy of the things we can't see, but we know are coming. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is knowing that you're on a path because you're in a relationship with God. Through Jesus, you're in a relationship with God that has you on a path that's going to take you to where? Well, if you're on a path and it's leading you to God through Jesus, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up with God. How hard is that? That's seeing afar off. Because you're not just looking at your demise. You're looking beyond your demise. You're looking to that point where you get to see God. But the world is temporary, and all that stuff is visible, but we get stuck in that area. We turn our faith towards the world, and it's all temporary. And people tell us it's temporary. You don't know something is temporary until you buy a Mercedes S50 and it's totaled. And I don't mean the fact that they make a bunch of those things. I mean, once you add all your stuff to it and you get that uniqueness about it that makes everybody knows it belongs to you and it gets totaled, and they say, well, we can give you another. Well, you can't give me that one again. It's going to take a while to get all that again. It's temporary. They'll give you another one, but it's not the one you had. It's another one. I don't care if it looks the same. It's the same color. They put the same. It's another one. It's temporary. That's what the world is. It's temporary. I don't care how good it is. It's temporary. The definition of faith contains two aspects, and it's intellectual approval and trust. Intellectual assent is believing something to be true. Trust is actually relying on the fact that something is true. A chair is often used to help to illustrate this. But as we are here today or this morning, we'll use this room. Intellectual approving is recognizing what this room represents and agreeing that it is designed to support that purpose. This room, for the purpose that it is, this is our room, this is our sanctuary, this is where we as a congregation worship God. And we all recognize that this room is where we worship God. We come here every Sunday morning so we can worship God. We come here Sunday evening so we can worship God. Remember, even on the Sundays that we sing, we're still worshiping God. So we recognize that when we come in. And so we recognize that what this room represents, and we agree that it is designed to support that purpose. Trust is believing that the purpose of, is believing in the purpose of this room. Understanding these two aspects of faith is crucial. Many people believe certain facts about Jesus Christ. Many people will agree with the facts the Bible declares about Jesus, but knowing those facts to be true is not what the Bible means by faith. The biblical definition of faith requires approval of these of those facts and trust in those facts. So you got to trust. You have to trust in the fact that you believe. Or what? You got to have faith. So how's your faith? That's why I thought it was a good question. How's your faith? See, it's not just knowing about Christ. It's believing what you know about Christ. Believing that Jesus is God incarnate who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and was resurrected is simply not enough. We were talking about that in Bible class. It's just not enough. You have to have faith to find out the rest of the stuff. You have to have faith to look and deal with and dig for and sit in class to find out the rest of the stuff. We talked about that. Jesus died for my sins. I can do whatever I want to because what? I don't have any sins. Yeah, okay. You must personally and fully rely on the death of Christ as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, you must sit in this room and have faith of the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. The faith God requires of us for salvation is belief in what the Bible says about who Jesus is and what he accomplished, and fully trusting in Jesus for that salvation. This room is designed for salvation. It's not big as some rooms. It's certainly not big as that room over there. But it has the same purpose. Whether it's hot or cold or warm or sweltering, it serves the same purpose. It is here for salvation. So how's your faith? Well, we know what? You have faith. But who's your faith? But who or what is it in? I'm going to go to Mark 9, starting about 17. And this is Jesus is being dealing with the Sadducees again. And as he's dealing with the Sadducees, around 17, it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered and said, to his disciples, now not to the man, to his disciple, Jesus said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed and foaming. And he said, and he asked the Father, How long is it ago that since this came unto him? And he said, "As of a child." And oftentimes it have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." 24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou with thy unbelief." He said, "I believe, I have faith, help me with the things I don't have faith in." Right there, I believe. They believe, they accept it, they have the knowledge of Christ. However, they choose not desire help with their unbelief. Why? We know not. But the father of that child beckoned Jesus to do just that. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. On one hand, there is no difference between faith and belief. The two terms are often used interchangeably. The Gospel of John was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And another thing I learned is the Gospel of John does not even use the word faith, although the concept of faith is thoroughly woven into it. Now, on the other hand, in popular English usage, the word faith often has a deeper meaning. Belief often refers to an intellectual acceptance of facts. If you ask the average person on the street if he believes in Alexander the Great, he will probably interpret the question to mean, "Do you believe such a person existed?" Mostly, no doubt, would answer yes. However, faith has the added idea of trust and commitment, and we often discover that commitment is way more frightening than trust. See, in other words, I can trust you, but it's going to take a little bit more to commit myself to you. So a lot of times that comes up into definitely comes up when you're talking about faith in God. You're talking about what? When you talk about faith in God and following Christ, and then when you become a part of the body of Christ, well, that's a commitment, and there's stuff that goes along with that commitment, and that's why it's so frightening, because there's stuff that goes along with that commitment. One of the things that goes along with that commitment is strengthening your brothers by being where? By being with them in this worship service and being with them in the Bible classes. And that's what it is, the strengthening. They're strengthening you and you're strengthening them, but it's a commitment. And that commitment, evidently, is way more frightening than just trusting that there's a God. So even though many people believed that Alexander the Great was alive, many had faith in him when he was alive, many had faith in him, trusting him to protect them. You know, he was a leader. He led them into battle. He was a commander. And then he expanded the Greek Empire, which we know he did. However, it would be safe to assume that no one alive today is trusting Alexander the Great to do anything for them. Because what? He's dead. They believe that he existed, past tense, so they do not have faith in him. Many people today believe certain facts about God, and in some cases, their facts may be conventional. However, they never really commit themselves, never trust fully in the God they say they believe in. So how's your faith? What do you believe? You believe in God? John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I quoted it earlier. It's right there. John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Matthew 3:16. After he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling upon him. And behold, a voice from the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. See, Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. And then God said, this is my Son, who I am well pleased. Matthew 17:4, Peter responded and said to Jesus, this is on the Mount of Configuration, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you want, I will make the three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. If you believe in God, believe also in me. This is my beloved Son. 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow clever devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such a declaration of this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. If you believe in God, believe also in me. So again, how's your faith? You believe in God? See, we believe in God. And 1 Colossians 1:9, it says, for this reason we believe in God, we believe in God, and for this reason we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And then it says, the thing that should pull you from the wrong direction and take you to the right direction. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now Paul wrote that to the Colossian church, but that's what we're trying to tell people when we talk to them and they're not in the body of Christ. Since we found out about it, we've been praying for you and telling you these very things, because we want you to come into the light, to come out of the darkness. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You believe in God? We talked about this earlier in class. Some people say that they believe in God, they have faith, they go into heaven. You believe in God, they have faith, they're going to heaven. This is something you need to know. We're going back to John 14. We're going to start at verse 1. And when he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be. And you know the way where I am going." And of course, we have my best buddy, Thomas. Because Thomas would ask the questions. Thomas was Peter the second. Thomas would ask those questions. Peter would just blab stuff out, but Thomas would ask those questions. He said in verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how do we know the way?" "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You have to go through Christ to get to God. If you don't want to go through Christ, you don't get to God. So God loved the world, but you have to go through Christ to get this stuff that he said, to get the promise that Peter talked about. You have to go through Christ. See, we're trying to pull him back. We're trying to get them to go in the right direction. Yeah, we want you to go to heaven too, but you have to go through Christ. We had to go through Christ to get on the path. Once you get on the path, you can go to God where you think you're going to go by doing anything you want to do. But guess what? Along the way, you find out you can't do anything you want to do. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. I just want to say that if anybody is not in the body of Christ, Lord keep you and tarry 1 week. Please resolve this year that you come to Christ. We're going to have an invitation song. We always have one. And we invite you to think about everything that I've said as we sing the selected song. "I am resolved to longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.